email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Billy just said it to me. The words I have in front of me, even though we knew was coming, it was still a shock to hear the news on the 13th of June that we'd lost one of Ireland's most loved singers, Christy Dignam. The incredible outpouring of love and support following his death brought some comfort to his family and the lads as well. And they're here with us. Billy McGuinness, Alan Downey and Joe Jewell. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all very strange.
Yeah.
But look, we're musicians at the end of the day, and we had a good chat about this, even though we knew it was kind of coming down the road. But and we sat down a couple of weeks ago, we had a good chat, and we just said, look, who wants to stay on? Who wants to continue? And the three of us decided that we'd give it a go. We don't really know what we're going to do yet. But we wanted to get out there and
we booked a rehearsal studio, you know.
Yeah.
No, I think we were only in there for an hour, but it was just, you know, get the guitars out, dust them
and
off.
Joe, when was the last time you'd done that?
Oh, it was nine.
The 5th of August, Ballykeith Amphitheatre was the last time the band played up until we got the guitars.
So the 5th of August last year.
It's nearly a year. It's only a year. Since we actually played, and it was more like therapy, Ray, when we got up and we started playing the Aslan songs, and then of course we started talking about Christy while we're there, and all the memories coming back, and it was emotional, because for me personally, when we were in rehearsal, Christy was always late anyway, and he'd always have a great excuse, you know, I have a punch or I have to tax the car. So we're in there rehearsing and I'm expecting the phone to ring and it's Christy with an excuse.
He's not coming.
And people would have known it was 40 years last year, the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Joe and Alan, you were childhood mates with Christy, were you?
Well, I met Christy in 1982 when the band started.
All right,
but Joe goes way back, school days, different bands,
different players. You know,
so right,
just messing around as kids.
Yeah,
going to gigs.
Were you sort of playing before you started playing music? Were you sort of that young?
Yeah, kind of. You know what I mean? You know, there was always something. The music was always a connection somewhere.
Yes.
Along the line, you know what I mean? So, you know, when it started off in a school band, and I know somebody who will, you know, to sing, you know, Christy, you fancy giving this a go, you know, and then you call down and go, listen, I will, yeah, okay. And, you know, now we different drummers and different bass players and other guitarists, and, you know, I wish I could name them all, you know, but I can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm a borderline.
And Billy was Johnny Come Lately.
Very lately. The baker.
Yeah. Billy mooched his way in.
I used to arrive down to Alan's garage in Finglas. The lads would be in there. First of all, I went to see them in the Revenue Commissioners Club and they blew me away. I said, Christy Dignam, what a front man. Unique. I've never saw anything like it. I want to be in this band. How do I get into this band? I asked them, could I join? They told me no. They do a flat. Now, piss off. You're not getting in the band, said Christy. So, the lads did a 2FM fanning session, and you know you got paid for it then. So that was the first time that the band actually got paid for a radio session. So as you do,
that's right, yeah.
We went up to the back of the building, which was at the back of the airport, and the lads proceeded, and I was with them, we proceeded through the check behind the bar and we drank the proceeds. And I asked them when the defences were down, I said, can I join the band, lads? And they all went, yeah, of course you can, Billy, we love you. The next morning, you want to see their faces when I turned up at the garage and they're all regretting it. I'm going, what are you doing here? Where's the cakes? I'm in the band, lads.
And the rest, as you say, is history.
My first gig was a 2FM. First gig was a 2FM gig, Lark in the Park in Raheem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going way back.
Jesus. So you went back in, you did a bit of rehearsing. And when you're singing the songs and Christy isn't there, that's poignant, I'd imagine. That's tough.
We weren't actually singing them. We were just playing them and doing the odd backing vocals. So we knew where we were in the arrangement of the song.
But we got the set list out from the last gig and it started with Gotta Make It. So we started playing and either me or Joe would just do a guide vocal just to, so the band would know where we were, you know. And then we decided, we said, look, We're just enjoying ourselves playing, and it's therapy. Is there anything we can do now to, you know, as a tribute to Christy, as a thank you to the fans who followed us for 41 years and been through the thick and thin, and with Christy being sick and Christy when he was addicted and all that. So it was a kind of a tribute to Christy and a thank you to the fans. Joe actually went searching and found out that our last recording was done in Jellistown Studios.
That's right.
And it was Fields of Attenroy, believe it or not, which came as a complete shock. Mm-hmm. Because
were you not there first?
But I don't remember the session, Ray. It was like Paul O'Reilly contacted us and he said, look, I love the way Aslan do a twist on their covers. Right. You know, like Angie, Wish You Were Here. In fact, we've done a covers album. And he said, I'd love to hear you covering the Fields of Attenroy. But it was done and it was sent back to Paul and then it was forgotten about. Mm. Like there was no comeback as in, this is
so
great.
So when did you do it?
It was a year and a half. But look, Christy, he was always messing around with ballots. Like look at the Green Fields of France thing. Do you know what I mean? That was huge as well, him and Finbar. And like I remember even, I was only thinking about this morning, I remember about 9 or 10 years ago and Christy was going on about ballads and we were actually going to, when we were messing one day, we were going to call the band Christy and the Irish Boys.
Celtic Christy Celtic. And the Irish Boys.
And the Irish
that
Boys.
That was it, yeah.
But he was always messing around with
those. On one occasion,
those.
I chatted to him about that and he said he wanted to do a full album.
Yeah,
he
did. That's right. But what Ryan Tuberty is actually responsible for that, because Christy was telling us that when he was in there rehearsing with Finbar, it was supposed to be just a throwaway, a verse and a chorus, and that was it. Mm. And they done that, and Ryan Tuberty said, hang on a minute, this is special. You have to draw this out. And the producer was going, there's no time, Ryan, there's no time. And Ryan says, make time.
There you go.
This is
super professional.
This
he
is
knew
gold.
It was special.
14 million views on YouTube and still going up. But I think that's when Christy saw the response to that, it really dragged him into that Celtic Christy and the Irish Boys.
We jumped on it really, you know, just to see because you know, Christy puts a stamp on everything.
Yeah,
it was just when he started singing it, you know,
Paul O'Reilly. Right. Who Dolphin Records, who has the publishing or whatever. So he was on to us and Christy was mad up for singing that. Yeah. You know? And like if you listen to the vocal, it's just something very kind of haunting about there.
I think it's one of the best vocals he's done. Yeah. Is that because Christy's not here?
Maybe.
And I'm listening to it with emotional ears. But Joe produced it anyway, so Joe will tell you.
Is it one of the best vocals he's done? It's definitely very Christy.
It's definitely up there, yeah. But I think the main thing is because it's a different type of song, you know, and he just puts a stamp on it.
It's about a part of our history.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure Christy felt very strongly about.
Oh, exactly.
The lyrics weren't lost on him at all. You know, so will we listen to it then?
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Yeah, you love to hear it. This is my first time hearing it on radio.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Aslan, the late Christy Dignam on lead vocals and the Fields of Athenroy.
Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Taken you
Wow.
Yeah, well, I was right.
That's Christy.
We do have the original long version. That's the one that'll be streamed, you know. That's like a radio edit, if you know what I mean, just to keep it within the 3 minutes or whatever it is.
How long is the long version?
It just has the verse, that's missing the last verse.
And that'll be going to everyone, every platform on Thursday. And thank you all for your support over the 40 years. Yeah. And our tribute to Christy.
Yeah.
And what a vocal.
What a voice. What an amazing version of a classic. R.I.P. Christy. Bloody magical version of Athenry. Mags, absolutely love Christy's Field of Athenry Trees in Dublin. It's like he was meant to sing that.
I know.
You know what I mean?
He's meant to sing everything.
See, it's a song that's thrown away, you know, and the meaning of it's lost with a lot of people. Yeah. But Christy sort of grabbed it.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
He did.
Just wow. R.I.P. Christy. And now that's the one for the Ireland rugby matches in future. They can belt it out on the speakers and let the crowd in Lansdowne sing it. Regards, John in Cork. It'll be played there, and it'll be played at the end of nightclubs all over the country. And you know, it'll definitely keep Christy's memory alive in a big way. Such a sad loss to lose one of Ireland's legends. Can you ask the band what were the last words they spoke with Christy? Did they have a chance to say goodbye, Geraldine and Sligo? Billy?
No, we were talking to him about the Tree Arena, the 40th year gig. That was the last conversation we had, and how we were going to work it if Christy wasn't able to be there or perform, or if he could be there and support it. It was going to be like a knife for Christy, like we did in the Olympia that time. That was the last conversation we had with him, and that was it then.
And then we just left it.
And then we left. Once he went into palliative care, that was it. We backed off.
It's family time that time, isn't it?
And, you know, it's tough, but you know, and people listening know, that he was diagnosed with terminal cancer about 10 or 11 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a long goodbye, and there were a number of times along the way, and you would have been there when it was touch and go, and he rallied and he came back amazingly.
I thought he was invincible, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing, you said it, he'd get sick, but then a couple of months down the line, we'd be back gigging. I'm ready to gig, right? I'm ready to gig. He'd get sick again, and then we'd be, and when we said goodbye in Ballykeith, Joe, he always used to travel with Joe. So we just said, see you, Joe, see you, Christy, see you, be on to you on Tuesday for rehearsals or whatever. And that was it. Even when you're told that he's not well, he'd be right. He'd be all right as round the month.
Ah, Lazarus. Here comes Lazarus.
Lazarus. That's what we were starting to call him. Lazarus.
Joe, in those, you know, journeys to gigs, did you ever chat about after Christy? Did you ever chat about what?
No, never. No.
Did he ever bring it up? No.
Because you just live for the time that you have, you know. What's the point in worrying about what to do in the future?
We never had that conversation.
Never, ever.
It never came up as, like, lads, what are you going to do when I die? That conversation never came about. What do you think we should do when you're gone,
Christy? You know,
you wouldn't do that. We didn't want to know about them days.
It's kind of the last time. You know, so we didn't want to discuss them. We didn't want to.
But they're here now.
We hit it.
And I hope he supports our decision to keep going, because the way we look at it, Ray, is when we're performing them songs, at least Christy will be remembered in the gigs, in the venue. Yeah. What's the alternative? We're a band. They have to play, otherwise they're not a band. So hopefully, you know, and I think the first couple of gigs back are going to be very, very emotional for people that are there. And for us as well.
And what's the plan for a singer then? Are you going to sing?
We're not even thinking about that yet. We're just going up to rehearsals. We're having the stories amongst ourselves. Yeah. We're running through the songs. Yeah. This is something that we can put our energy into. The Fields of Athenry. Yeah. We can put our energy into that. And then we'll worry about it.
But I mean, there's no question that we certainly aren't trying to replace Christy.
No, but you're irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable.
Like, you know, we chatted to you and to Christy like so many times over the years. I was remembering, because I was on holidays, I remember the first time I did an interview with Christy was back in 1988-89.
Where was it? Because I was saying it's Alan.
It was in the Rock Cellar. Remember the Rock Cellar at the end of Grafton Street?
The Rock Cellar.
Yeah, it was a basement rock music shop. I think Pat Egan ran it.
Oh. The Rock Cellar.
Sound Cellar. Sorry.
What were we doing down there?
No, you weren't there. It was just Christy on his own.
All right. Okay. No wonder I can't remember it. But I was thinking our first interaction with you would have been Dustin or Zig and Zag.
Yeah, it was even before that because I was on this other thing called Joe Maxi and I interviewed Christy for that. Yeah.
That's it. We did and Joe Maxi as well.
That was 88, 89.
Yeah.
Myself and Christy walked up Graft Street because I think it had been newly pedestrianised or something.
Okay.
And we did the interview walking and talking up Grafton Street. And I remember he was rock and roll to me, you know, because I was just up from the country. I was a young lad up from the country. And then there was this guy who just oozed charisma and rock and roll. Yeah, I could see it, you know.
Yeah.
Even like, because you weren't that big then, but even I felt a little bit, you know.
I'm still only 4'4".
Yeah.
But it's got, did he have the leather jacket on?
Well, you know,
Phil Innes gave him that leather jacket.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Would it not be too big for him?
And that jacket got robbed on Christie. Right. He was sickened. Yeah.
So did you support Thin Lizzy at one stage? Or?
He gave Christy some studio time.
Right.
And Christy gave him the leather jacket. Yeah.
Just a couple of things, like Niamh went through loads of interviews we did with Christy over the years and she just found a couple of things. One of them was because he loved opera, didn't he? And he spoke about her a lot.
And in this
one he's talking about Ave Maria.
Italian language has broader vowels. So if you look at Ave Maria, there's no theirs or yours in it. It's all Ave Maria, gratia plena.
So you have to open up.
They're all broad vowels. Yes, yeah. So when you have a broad vowel, when that broad vowel hits the vocal cords, it clears it. It clears it of all the phlegm and shit that's on it.
Yeah.
So, and then you can sing properly after that, you know.
Right, so that's what you do in the dressing room before a gig.
No, I don't do that.
Ave Maria.
The band is slaughtered.
He never did a vocal warm-up.
Did he not?
No, he didn't. And even though he studied bel canto for those years, like he'd get up in the morning. The first thing he'd do in the morning was he'd check his voice. His voice is there. And before the gig,
just in case he lost it overnight.
Before the gig, you'd imagine him being the lead singer that he would do vocal warm-ups.
He basically didn't need to. We would have made him, I think if he did vocal warm-ups, it would have made him too comfortable. You know, he wanted to go out and
on edge all the time.
You know, and interact with the audience. And
you've mentioned the fans over and over again.
Absolutely.
And again, memories, because you shot a video in the Olympia Theatre to go out on DVD, a concert. I remember being at it and I was watching one of the fans and not only did he know every lyric of every song, but he also knew every action that Christy did. And I just singled him out. He was there in the middle and I just looked at him and then I look at Christy and he was like a mirror image of Christy. He did everything.
Yeah.
But we talked about the fans.
Like when we did the Olympia, the last Vicar Street things we done, we got a message of Gerald Kane sent a message up that he had a woman with her, she was 80 and she wants to sing happy birthday to her. And I'm looking at the front of the stage and there's all these 14 and 15 year olds and this 80-year-old at the back and everything in between.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. That makes me feel good that we're getting across to that, because you know yourself, right, when you're growing up, like you never listen to what your dad listened to, you know. That was kind of... But these are coming with our fat parents, a lot of them, you know. Yeah. It's amazing.
Mind you, my dad was into jazz, so...
Oh, Jesus. Jazz.
I hate jazz. Well, 90 to 90, that's
really?
What our age group, we always said it. But do you know what was lovely, Ray? Like, I know, like, there was loads of big artists that paid tribute to him after he passed, but on a grassroots level, every small pub in Ireland that had a singer in it that weekend, and I was talking to your researcher, Grace, about this, and I was being sent videos of where these singers in small pubs down the country were doing their tribute to Aslan Christie when he died. And Gray said, well, my partner plays in a small pub in Wicklow, and he did two songs. And I said, that's my point.
Yeah,
and Christie would have loved that it was the grassroots, you know,
and
level.
And a lot of singers who've come on since he died have insisted on singing an Aslan song.
He did that
was before Christy died.
It was. He did a version of this.
Jack O'Rourke did, I think, This Is as well.
It was great. You had the Coronas in Fairview. They did Damien Dempsey in Ivy. But never mind that.
Are they all auditioning for...
It was just the grassroots. I think, Christy, that would have really resonated with him.
I mean, he treated everybody the same. Yeah. Age didn't come into the... You know,
so I was looking at the three, listen to his voice there. And
it's weird.
It is.
It's like hearing the song when he starts that vocal. You just, I don't think it's finally... I don't think it's really at home.
He's waiting for the door to open.
Yeah, yeah. Christy, you're late for the Ray Darcy interview. Come on, what's the excuse this time? You know, and that's it.
I don't think Christy, like you were just saying there a minute ago, you know, did you ever talk about these days? And these days are here now. But like, I don't think for 1 minute Christy would want us to stop.
Right.
I don't think he would. You know what? We're going to give up. Like, certainly if it had been me, he wouldn't have given up, you know?
If it had been me.
So it's like what Billy was saying earlier on. It's just like us getting into the studio, and that therapy is just... Yeah. It's just so important to actually play, to be together
we're
again.
We're musicians, you know. We just want to keep playing our music.
I'm so happy to hear those Aslan lads. Hope they keep the music going. That Christy song is magic. And Mary Androida says, it's truly amazing. And listen to this interview, says Malachy. It sounds like Christy is there with the lads being interviewed.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
He was bold, wasn't he?
He normally cut across me, and he said, "Billy, stop saying that." I'd say something stupid, you know. And Christy was very, very intelligent.
Very bright man.
He was very, very bright. He could run rings around a lot of people, you know. But he had a wicked sense of humour.
Yeah.
He really did.
And he was mischievous.
Oh yeah. There was one time there was a river that used to run through Finglas.
Right? Still does.
What's it called?
The Talca.
The Talca, right.
A river runs through it.
You see? There you go. I'm saying stupid things, and now it's a Christy, right? So what Christy did was, right, it was only 2 foot deep where they used to paddle. So Christy got down and he crouched down really low and he was pretending to tread the water. Right, so this fella came along in his trunks, and he saw Christy. He saw Christy treading the water, and he went, "That must be deep." So he took a jump, and he jumped in, came down, tore the arse off himself, and then Christy stood up.
Silver spoon.
Keep going, Aslan. Christy will never be forgotten. I miss the lads in Ballykeefe Theatre, but what a version of the song you played, and what a tribute song to Christy with the lilt he had. I look forward to seeing Aslan back in Kilkenny if they decide to come over for a gig. P.S. What is the album called where that song can be found? It's just on its own at the moment, isn't it?
It's on its own. It'll be available on all platforms Thursday. On Thursday. Everyone can get it. Yeah, and I'm just going to
play a little bit more of it. Is that okay?
Play the intro because the intro just has that. Tingle.
And you know when people hear a song for the first time, they go, "Oh yeah, I want to hear that again. I want to hear it again now. Thank you."
Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Sorry, Joe, I shouldn't play it here. Listen, lads, thanks a million for coming in. Whatever you're doing in the future, we'll always be here to give you a plug or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. Joe, thanks. Yeah. I know that was Sophia. You. Billy, thanks. Alan, thank you very much. Thank you. Take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.